Well, it is good to be here. I've been looking forward to this week for a long time. I was asked, I think it was, I forget when I was asked, but I'm glad to be here. I'm staying with Sam and Connie, and I've had a good 2 days so far. My plane didn't lose my luggage and didn't have too bad of a flight. I will say, I've said it a couple times, it is warmer here than it is in Canada. I left, it was a cool 62 degrees. And, but I'm not going to complain about the heat. We do get this warm, so I am a little used to it, just not in June. This week, hope you'll bring your Bibles with you. You'll need them to follow along. Unfortunately, this period, I'm going to be giving you a little bit of the work in Toronto. It's not an unfortunate thing. It's just I won't have a lot of a Bible to tell you about, but just certainly during the next service, make sure you have your Bibles because you will need them. So the work in Toronto. I know you've been supporting the work in Toronto for many years, but I am going to give you a little bit of a refresher on, if this turns on. Ah, yes, I was told about that. There we go. I'm going to give you a little bit of a refresher on what Toronto is and how many people live there. So we have Toronto as a very nice picture of our most famous skyline, but the city of Toronto is about metropolitan area of about 5.6 million people, which I understand is just a little bit more than the population of the state of Alabama. So you can get a picture of just how big Toronto, the city, is the largest city in Canada, and the core of downtown, which is what you're seeing there, is about 2.6 million people. City is about 50% white, 12% East Asian, of which 10.8% is Chinese. And you'll get to see a little bit more of the fact that the congregation in Toronto is very diverse and has many Chinese members composed of it. It's 12.3% South Asian, 8.5% black. And we can go on down the list. This is just about what the population is. Aboriginal, if you're wondering what that is, that's about Native American. That's what we'd call Native Americans. They're Aboriginal up in Canada. But a little bit about me, and I'm sorry for the picture, but a little bit about me. And if you're wondering how to say my last name, I told Sam, I'm not offended if you say it wrong, but it is Disselkamp. You probably know a lot of diesel camps, and they're my uncles and my cousins, but this is the way we say it. This is a proper way in English to say it. They're probably closer in German. It is German, but, I was born in, I have a very patriotic birthday, July 4th, 1983. That makes me 31 years old, almost 32. I have graduated in 2006 from Brock University. That is a university in St. Catharines, just a little bit west of Niagara Falls, with a degree in chemistry and a bachelor's of education. I was a teacher for 9 years. I won't tell you the entire story, but suffice to say, last year I decided it was not in the cards to be a teacher. And I had been preaching all the way along. I have preached for almost 13 years on and off, and I preached in Jordan, Ontario, which is a little bit further to the west of Niagara Falls, for a few months while they were in between preachers. But my dad is a preacher. We're a family, or at least the older generations are a family of preachers. My dad is Roy. You probably don't know him, or you think you know our family. You probably don't know him. He's the youngest of Leslie Disselkamp's sons. He's lived outside of the country longer than he's lived in it. He's worked in Australia and India but he met my mom. He came to Canada at about 29 years old. He was single. And he told a congregation there he was single. He was happy to be single. And he wasn't looking to get married. However, he wasn't against getting married. But first person he met when he came to the building was my mother, who would eventually be my mother. He'd been in Jordan. He worked in Jordan for 6 years. Bill Hall worked with him in Jordan while he was there as well. And then he moved to St. Catharines. And he's been in St. Catharines my entire life, 31 years. The congregation there is where he currently preaches. Suffice to say, my mother married him, knowing his past, knowing he'd gone to Australia and India and other places, and she thought she was going to travel. They didn't travel. They stayed there, and that was it. And I have one sister. She's up in Toronto with me, or Naomi, and I have she's younger than me, and I have the youngest brother. He's at 25. He's Zach, and he's in St. Catharines with my parents. I taught mainly as a substitute teacher up until last year. I still could work with the school boards. However, since I'm preaching, I choose not to. But I was mainly a substitute teacher, and for my mother up there, I am currently unmarried. She had said, you know, you're going down to Alabama. There might be women down there. I am currently unmarried, and people ask, why are you unmarried? Is it you don't like to be married? And no, there's a very good reason why I'm not married. It's because I haven't found the right woman yet. And as we're going to be talking on Tuesday night, it is important. Marriage is important. It shouldn't be taken lightly. And there's what I call a missing generation up in Canada that fell away in the 1980s, and their children would be my age. And so there is a missing generation. That's why that's a problem in Canada, because we lose a lot of our young people because there are not young people their age. They come to the States. It's not that they fall away. It's that they come to the States. They find spouses and they stay. And so that is a little bit about me. This is my first full-time preaching work, and I started in September. So we're going on. The time has flown by. I can remember when I was September, and it seems like yesterday. I can't imagine that. Let's see, we're at 6 months. 10 months have gone by, and the work is very hectic in Toronto. I was telling a couple people I've enjoyed the slower pace down here. I've enjoyed not having the traffic. We went to the airport at about 3:30 in the morning on Friday to catch my 7:15 flight, and it was still busy on the highway. Not as bad as it is in rush hour traffic, but certainly more cars than would be on the road at 3:30 in the morning here, I'll bet. Now, the congregation at East End, this is a picture. Almost everyone's in that picture. I'm not going to explain who all these people are, but you can see that many of them are Chinese. And that formed the nucleus for a long time. Some families have moved in, some families have moved out. The congregation currently has 23 members. I don't say, you get my reports and you say, well, that's not the attendance you keep reporting, but this is 23 Christians, with an attendance of around 30, and that includes the children. And we do have some non-members, non-Christians, that are frequently out, and, we're hopeful for them, but at the current time they're not members. Of these members, 9 of them are the men who regularly lead in the public worship. And we're very fortunate for a congregation of that size to have this many men who lead singing, lead around the table. We do many things. I'm very grateful for the fervor of these men. I guess you'll see later on in the class that we are a group that is very intent on serving God. We are very active. The men volunteer to do things that you might say, well, I wouldn't have expected them to do that, but they help me and assist me a lot, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm going to go through a couple of our Bible classes. If you've read my reports, you know a little bit about these Bible classes, but you have no idea who these people are. So I have a Monday afternoon Bible class with 2 young ladies. Annie is a member at East End, and her friend, Sue, is not. Sue is non-Christian. That class started before I came. Heather Hamlet, Dave Hamlet's wife, started that class before I got there. It sort of lapsed a little bit because I didn't know it existed when I got up there. And she approached me and said, you know, I had a class with my friend. Would you be willing to consider it? And I said, yes, I'll be willing to consider it. And I have her there because I do have a bit of a safeguard I do when I teach single women, that I would like someone else there with me. So I don't, not that anything would ever happen, but it's just the appearance. I like to avoid the appearance of coming into a single person's house and no one else is there. We're studying in the book of Acts. They were using a book. Sue's English is not the best. It is enough to understand, but her Mandarin is her native language. So they were using a book that was very easy on English, but unfortunately very light on Scripture. And I made the best of that book, adding to it. But we finally finished that book. For some reason, they decided to end in Acts 10. And they didn't even get to the best part of Acts 10, which is the conversion of Cornelius. They went through the entire story and skipped the last part. But we didn't. But we're currently ready for chapter 12 when I return next week. Study is progressing well. And I'm hopeful Sue is learning. She's seeing a pattern. And every time we see that pattern of, when we're in Acts 8, how many times do Christians or to people hear the word of God, and those who believe are baptized? And the Ethiopian eunuch heard the word of God, he believed and was baptized. And then Saul of Tarsus, and then Cornelius. And the list goes on and on and on in the book of Acts, as you know. And I'm hoping as she sees that pattern, she's going to notice that she's in need of the gospel as well and will obey. So that's that class. Then I have a class on Friday nights with a man named John. This class is, John is Croatian. But he's lived in Canada for years. His English is very good. However, he studied the Bible, but the language in the Bible, even if you have some of the newer versions, sometimes can be a little confusing. And he's really wanted to study. He's a friend of a couple of the members, Gordon Callow. When I got there, he was repairing their basement. And they didn't know him before that, but they became friends while he was repairing their basement. And Calla, Gord's wife, was down there one day, and he started talking about the Bible. And she says, well, you know, we ought to have a Bible study about that. We have a new preacher here in Toronto. He'd be willing to come and study the Bible with you. And John said, okay, I want to study the Bible. And so that's what we've been doing. And so they helped start that study. We've been studying from the book of Mark. As you get to know me, I believe sometimes if you're wanting to start and someone believes in God already, the book of Mark's a pretty good place to start. Book of Mark, of all four of the Gospels, shows Jesus Christ, shows all the miracles that He did, doesn't have a lot of His parables, and it only has one chapter on it, but is really good. It's an easier book to study. You get all the points that you need, and you talk about the major issues that someone as a non-Christian is going to have to face. So we're studying from the book of Mark, although when I return, he's been having some questions about the Holy Spirit. He attends a denomination that really does, it's not Pentecostal per se, but they believe a lot of wrong things about the Holy Spirit, and he's had a lot of questions, and so I agreed, well, we'll take a break from Mark. We're in about chapter 7, and I said, well, we'll discuss the Holy Spirit, and that way I can clear up some of your questions on that. John is beginning to understand that there is a difference between churches, and not everyone teaches the same thing. The first thing he asked me when we started this study was, do I have to go to your church? Well, I explained to him, I don't have a church, for one thing, and I know it's a little bit semantics. I know when people say, well, you can come to my church, they're not meaning their church, they're meaning the congregation that they go to. But I always make the point, it's not my church, it's Christ's church. But I said, no, you don't have to go to the church where I preach. You do have to go to a church that believes in God, believes in Jesus Christ, and follows what the Word of God said. There are churches that do that. But those who don't call themselves by the scriptural name in the New Testament, those who do not, there are many that, as you know, that do not. And we've been going through the different denominations and saying, why are they not a church of the New Testament? Well, most of the time it will be A, because they have the wrong name. We've been through the Baptists, we've been through the Catholics, we've been through the Methodists and the Presbyterians, and the whole list goes on. And first thing I say, well, John, does this church have the right name? And it took him a while to say, well, it's just a name. But I say, you have a name. If I call you by some other name, well, that's not right, and you won't answer to it. And so we study, if we're going to go to a church, we better go to a church that's named after Christ, that studies the Word of God and does it completely. And he's beginning to understand that not all churches are the same. And I am hopeful that when he understands the consequences of this, he will obey the gospel. He is getting closer. We've been studying since October, and he is getting closer to realize that. He came for the first time to our gospel meeting last week and heard a good lesson. I was telling Chuck, there couldn't have been a better lesson for him to hear. He preached the lesson, why 3,000 religious people got baptized, from Acts 2. And he believes he was baptized. I don't believe he was baptized properly. But he heard that, and he was responsive to that. And I'm hoping as the study continues, I do see progress in that study from where we started to where we are now. So that's John. Next we have a study that was started by a man named Jeff. It's up there now. Man on the right. Jeff at East End, there's one family that is a larger member of the Canadian section of that family, and that's the Fishers. There's Bill and Tammy Fisher, and then there's Jeff Fisher and his mother and their sister, and then all the couple of the children of one of the members. And this is her sister. Her sister was not a Christian up until December. The family itself, they weren't Christians until Bruce Hall came up. Part of the family were, but most of the family was not. They lived a rather wild life, and Amanda did as well. But her sister asked her if she would like to study the Bible. And she lives in, by the way, she lives in Huntsville, Ontario, which is about 2.5 hours north of Toronto. And so Jeff, who lives already an hour north, agreed to start that study, at least in the beginning. And then she was baptized. She had studied for a while. She was baptized. And I had wanted to go up to that study, but just moving to Toronto, I was still very busy on getting the studies in Toronto going and getting the work going for me there. And so he started that study, and after she became a Christian, I started going up there as well. And I already said she's a sister of one of the members. She currently worships in Huntsville. Huntsville is a very small congregation. If they were larger, I'm afraid they'd be institutional, but they're not large enough to really do the things that that would define what an institutional congregation is. It's not the best situation, but she doesn't drive. And so getting down to Toronto was really an impossibility. It's not the best situation. However, I was happy to hear she's moving closer to Toronto and will be able to become a member at East End when she moves in August. And that will be a benefit to her, because she will get she will be around Christians Huntsville is an older congregation. She's only 25. And so she'll be around Christians. She'll hear preaching that has a little bit more depth to it. And she'll be able to grow a little bit better. She has many Baptist friends. And so when we first started studying, we were studying on authority and how we establish authority, but we're currently learning about Calvinism and how to teach. Sorry, this thing's really getting at my ear. But learn how to teach about the different errors that Calvinism teaches. Now, she's not under any illusion. Her best friend is the daughter of a Baptist preacher. And I said, teach, have classes, but don't get your hopes up too high, because the Baptists up there are, and I'm sure they're pretty much down here too, are very indoctrinated. It's very difficult. There are very few Baptists that are converted in Canada, but some are. I said, teach, show her what the Bible says, you never know. Spread the word, as is a parable of seed. You spread it out and you just never know who will accept it and who won't. But that, Amanda has shown much interest in the scriptures. I've seen much growth, since she became a Christian in December. And she very much wants, to study and to grow. And so I'm happy for that. And that brings me to, the class that, if there's a highlight of the week besides Sunday, if there's a highlight of all my classes, is this one. It's a Saturday night class. And it's a Chinese class, and it takes place in the home of one of the members, Tim and Sandy. Tim and Sandy, if I get it, are these two right here. This is at their home. This was taken a week ago Saturday when Chuck's here. If you look really closely, you can see Chuck. He's up there. He's right here, and Debbie's right here. The class is usually in attendance around 10 or more in that picture. That night, but it's usually around 10, and we're studying from the book of Ephesians. This is the first, as far as I understand it, this is the first foray out of Acts and the Gospels that this class has taken, and even if it hasn't, it's been the first time in a long time. And so I asked, do you think you can handle another book in the Bible? We had just finished the book of Luke. And they said, well, we can handle it. We can try. And we're certainly willing to give it a try. And so the class itself is conducted in two languages. It's conducted in English and it's conducted in Mandarin. I don't speak Mandarin. But one of the men does, and he helps me. There's a couple ladies in the class who speak English, but not very well. You will find if you come to Toronto that many of the women have poorer English than their husbands. Many of the women don't work as much, or if they do work, they work in their community, which speaks Mandarin. So their English, and then they speak Mandarin at home, so their English is not as well polished as their husbands. And so, when we're studying about Ephesians, if we don't study in Mandarin, we're going to confuse a lot of them. So each verse, what we do is we read it in English, and then we immediately read it back in Mandarin. And I always have to be careful with a couple of the verses, because it's the New International Version that they have translated into Mandarin. So if you know the New International Version, some of those words aren't translated in English very well. And I sometimes have to ask, well, what does that mean? And they can tell me, and most of the time it's right, and they can understand what it means. But we then seek to define what I call the tough words. I usually have a page for them. I put out what the verses are or at least the main text, and we go through the tough English words, the English words that we take for granted that it's so easy to know. But I will tell even the kids, you went to school and you learned these words. Well, they didn't. They had picked up English as they came. And so it would be the same as if you wanted to learn another language and those people would say, well, those words are easy to understand. Well, for someone who's picking up English for the first time, it's not as easy. So we do that. And then we go through and go back and I explain what the material is actually talking about. And we've had a good mix of that. And we don't go fast through Ephesians. We've been in chapter 4, I think now, for 4 weeks. But chapter 4 is a pretty heavy chapter, and it's a pretty important chapter. The last 15 minutes, though, Henry, who is the one who assists me, Henry is right here. He assists me in a lot of things with Chinese brethren. He spends about 15 minutes, and he takes what we have learned and summarizes it in Mandarin to make sure that the ladies who do not speak as good of English can get the basic points that we've studied that night. And that has worked well, and usually there are about three or four non-Christians in attendance, and I do see personal growth. One of the daughters right here, she just began attending about 2.5 months ago. Mostly, like as far as she's more in attendance recently, and she's a daughter of one of the non-Christians. And last week I started beginning to see, and I asked Chuck, did you see that too in the class? He says, yes, I saw. She's beginning to think about what Ephesians 4 is especially saying when we deal with the seven ones and about one church and one Savior and one baptism and all of the seven ones. And she's close. I don't know how long it will be, but she's close. And the other women are closer as well. But the daughter speaks English a lot better. And she grew up here. She was born in Canada. And so, like, as far as she's understanding a little deeper level than some of them are. So that's the Saturday night class. I'll just quickly go through what we're studying in our regular classes in worship. Sunday morning, we're studying a book written by David Dann, an overview of the Bible. That's not taught by me. That's taught by Bill Fisher. David Dann speaking for me today, so we won't be finishing that first book today. But Lord willing, next week we'll be finishing that first book, at which time I will take over the class. I have not taught the Sunday morning class since I've been there. We've been exclusively in that book. And I will be studying the book of Titus. And they haven't studied the book of Titus in a while. I was trying to pick a book that they hadn't studied. When Dave Hamlet left, they had just finished Romans. And so I thought Titus was a good change of pace from what we had been doing. Wednesday night, we've just started a study of the parables. I teach this class, and on Wednesday night, we finish our second lesson, the parable of the sower. I'm going through all 31 parables found in the New Testament Gospels. I have a chart in my Bible as to about the chronological order of what they are. And so that was our second parable, although that's one of the more famous of the parables. And next week, Lord willing, will be, not this week, but when I return, we'll be doing the parable of the seed. Past studies have included about God, evidences for God, is there a God? And we just finished the book of Galatians as well. Our gospel meeting, if you got our report last month and read it, you would have known we would have had a gospel meeting. It concluded last week. It's been a busy couple of 3 weeks for me, but it's been good. It was with Chuck Bartlett, and I know you know Chuck and Debbie a lot, and of course you know that Chuck worked at East End as well. It was his first trip back. I didn't know it was his first trip back to Toronto since he left, but it was his first trip back. He preached 6 sermons applicable to Christians and non-Christians. It was a Thursday to a Sunday. Thursday and Friday we met at 7:30. We had 2 services on Saturday afternoon, and then our regular services on Sunday. We handed out over 1,000 flyers in our neighborhood. If you want some perspective, we handed out 1,000 flyers, and that was the 1/4 of one neighborhood. And that took us 2.5 hours because all the houses, I was remarking to Sam, the houses are, you have subdivisions. No, you don't. Not like Toronto has subdivisions. They don't have yards there. It's just one house next to another house next to another house. It took us 2.5 hours to hand out 1,000 flyers. And there were 7 of us. And that's just how close all the houses were. And so we handed out that. We had about 34 in attendance every night with 4 to 6 non-members, a lot of friends of the members who had come out in the audience for each service, including Sunday morning when we would not have the help of some of the other congregations. We came out to this meeting. Many people in this congregation come from about half hour to an hour away. And so this meeting was difficult for them to travel that distance every day. But they did it. And I said this meeting was a success. Were there any baptisms? No. But there are some classes that can come out of that meeting. I don't measure a gospel meeting by how many baptisms there were. I measure a gospel meeting by, was the Word of God preached? And it was. And so we're glad for that. And we don't know what's going to come out of this meeting as far as some of these non-members. But the people who I've just talked about from my classes were there. And so that was encouraging as well. Last thing I'm really going to talk about is this. And I started the podcast. It's called Searching the Scriptures. And I started that in January. And it's a daily podcast in English and a weekly podcast in Mandarin. And it's available on YouTube. And if you wanted to search it, you'd search Searching the Scriptures. I put that picture up there because you'll know that you have the right one when you see that picture. And it will say East End Church of Christ underneath it, because there is another one. But if you didn't want to search it on YouTube, if you wanted to see it, it is on our website, eastendchurch.org. If you go to that website, it should look very familiar, because it's a very similar website to yours, with the same format, and you can find it there. The daily podcasts are on the main screen, and then I put them up in the archives later. It's about 5 to 15 minutes every day. Discusses questions that are submitted. I've had a few questions. I've had a few discussions. I had a Baptist that we had a discussion for a whole week on limited atonement, and I answered his questions through that podcast. But I select a lot of the topics, a lot of the questions. But from time to time, we do get a question, and I'll answer that on the podcast as well. We get about an average of 3 to 5 viewers per video every day, and this is growing as there are more videos. There's about 150 videos up there now. And I can track where they're being viewed from, how they're being viewed, and how many are being viewed. And the earlier ones are now starting to get rather high counts. I'm hopeful that, and we advertise this in the community, and we're hoping that people would listen to the podcast and perhaps ask questions, and then we perhaps would get contact information about that. But that's my podcast. Work in Toronto is very hectic. It's very necessary, though. 5 million people, 5 million souls. It's a lot of opportunity up in Toronto. The brethren here are committed to being faithful to God and are always seeking new opportunities to teach the Bible to those that they meet. I would like to thank the congregation here at Pepper Road for their past assistance in this work and their future assistance in this work. It has been most helpful. I've met members who said, I've come up to Toronto. I've helped out in Toronto. I thank you for that, too. Canada is a tough work. The Canadian population is spread within about 20 minutes of the border. If you cross all the map, all the way from west in British Columbia to the east, most of the population is there. But many, as you probably know, the further you go north, the harder it becomes to teach the Word of God. And it is true in Toronto, but we continue, and I do thank you for that work. It is now 10 after, and I think my time is up. I thank you for your attention, and we will be dismissed, I guess, till the worship period.